The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness. Now, in its 28th year, your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor. And while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
How do you know you're getting old? You know you're getting old when Santa starts looking younger. What do they say? The four stages of life. You believe in Santa Claus. You don't believe in Santa Claus. You look like Santa Claus, and you are Santa Claus, or something like that. Anyway, and also, you know you're getting old when your joints go out more than you do. All right. Welcome to the program, David Snow on your radio. It's the cure for the common radio show, and we welcome you to the healthiest 2 hours on radio. It's one doctor's appointment that doesn't cost you a thing, so there's no insurance required. And the best part of all is you don't have to pull down your pants or take off your clothes for this painless injection of health information, which we do each and every week at this time. And if you miss any part of the show or just want a double dose of good health information, you can always go to, well, first of all, you can listen to our rebroadcast tonight at 9 p.m., or you can go to the website www.drhealthradio.com. In this hour of the program, radiation and your health. You know, it can kill you or it can cure you, depending on the amount and the kind and the dose and the area of the body that it's you're exposing it to, or you're exposing radiation to. And there's a lot of variables, so we'll have a radiation expert, Ron Smith, joining us in just a few minutes after a few announcements and the Health Hotline news, talking about all the different types of radiation we're exposed to on a daily basis, and then the ones that we choose to be exposed to, be it from medical procedures or diagnostic techniques and devices, and then the things that we use every day in daily life, or electronic devices, be they smartphones, computers, televisions, microwave ovens, all that. And so we'll talk about that, electromagnetic pollution, how to know if you're getting too much or allowable level of radiation or exposure, and much more. So it's going to be a fascinating hour. I think you'll get a lot out of this hour, because a lot of people have misconceptions about radiation and just how much we get, and also kind of the history of radiation. It's been around for longer than you think. All right, having said that, let's get on to a few announcements, then on to the Health Hotline news. Sleep. That's something I don't ever get enough of on Friday nights, because I stay up prepping the show. But anyway, people who get less than 7 hours per night are three times likelier to catch colds, according to a Journal of the American Medical Association study. Also, a trimmer waistline. And, you know, these are, I'm just reviewing some of the information that's already out there, but this is another study. And by the way, our show is 82% new, 18% review, and it's all good for you. A trimmer waistline. People who logged 7 to 9 hours a night have had an average BMI, that's a body mass index, of 24.8, almost 2 points lower than the average of those who slept less. This is according to University of Washington researchers. They say that too little sleep throws off hormones that regulate your appetite. And you think about it, you know, you don't get enough sleep, and what do you reach for? The carbs, the caffeine, and the stimulants that are going to keep you awake the following day that where you didn't get enough sleep. It also lowers your risk of heart disease and diabetes. A lack of sleep is associated with a higher level of stress hormones, and that can raise blood pressure and affect glucose metabolism. So, talking to myself there, don't do what I do what I say. I'm not practicing what I preach, at least not on Friday nights. All right, this week's snowism. Well, it's good to spread cheer. Don't let cheers spread you. I'm talking about alcoholic cheers. They have plenty of calories and can result in a middle-aged or middle-of-the-body spread, whether or not you're middle-aged. So be aware of the not-so-cheerful calories that alcoholic drinks contain. Remember, a gram of alcohol contains 7 calories. That's more than carbs or protein, which contain 4 calories each per gram. And then fat, of course, has 9 grams of, or 9 calories per gram of fat. But, you know, beer and wine and liquor, they all contain added calories, but no nutrition. So just be cognizant of that. And, you know, not to brag, since I don't drink alcohol, not to brag or anything, but I don't need alcohol to make really bad decisions. I just wanted to let you know that. Anyway, moving right along, straight ahead in the news. The latest on liver disease. Also, is screen time bad for young doctors? Plus, a few tips to prevent hangovers if you do indulge in that cup of cheer. Details to these stories and more coming up on the Health Hotline News as Dr. Health Radio continues.
Hey, hon, dinner's almost ready.
Hey, let me out of here. Hey, what about using me, Thermi? You need a food thermometer to be safe.
Yeah, what about Thermi?
Oh, honey, I know by the color when it's done.
Colors can be wrong. People could get sick. Hamburgers that look done sometimes aren't cooked enough.
We learned it at school.
All right.
Remember, it's safe to bite when the temperature is right.
Noni has been used by Polynesians and Hawaiians for over 2,000 years as their main medicinal plant. Now our new products bring the power of Noni fruit to you in a pleasant-to-use form. Noni fruit leather is made from pure, organic, unfermented fruit and offers relief for many health problems inside and out. Our soothing lavender Noni lotion helps with pain, skin ailments, and sports injuries. Noni fruit leather and lavender Noni lotion are available online or at most health food stores. Try our Noni lotion and fruit leather for improved health and energy.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's me, your immune system. I'm always hard at work defending you against the many disease-causing viruses and bacteria that you are exposed to every day. But sometimes I need help to defeat the bad bugs. Luckily, our friends at Kyolic have come to the rescue. Kyolic has 2 super immune-enhancing supplements, Kyolic Immune Formula 103 and Kyo Green Harvest Blend Immune Defense. Kyo Green Harvest Blend is a power-packed blend of organic and naturally sourced grasses, ancient grains, fruits, veggies, herbal extracts, and spirulina in a fast dissolving drink mix for a quick and easy way to support immunity. Kyolic Immune Formula 103 combines immune boosting nutrients with aged garlic extract. Aged garlic extract has been clinically shown to support a healthy immune response and reduce both the duration and severity of cold and flu symptoms. Help me protect you with Kyolic supplements and nutritional drink mixes to fortify your immune health today. Available at Fine Natural Health Retailers.
For current health news from around the world, Hawaii depends on the HLTH Health News Network. Time now for the Health Hotline News.
Okay, if you feel you need to drink, you know, it's the time of the year that more people drink or that people drink more than any other time. Hangovers, if you want to avoid hangovers, which I don't know anybody that doesn't want to avoid a hangover, it's caused mainly by dehydration. So just be aware to, for every drink you have, down a glass of water after each drink, and then maybe another before bed. And also bet on B's, B-complex vitamins I'm talking about, a daily multivitamin or a B-complex helps to speed the elimination of alcohol from the blood, especially B6, but B1... you know, there's a lot of research on that. In fact, B1 is the main B vitamin that is destroyed from or by alcohol. And years ago, I think, well, decades ago, I remember there was a vitamin B fortified beer. It was fortified with vitamin B1. because it was known even back then to destroy the vitamins. Also, cut down on the congeners, excuse me. Those are the there are certain drinks that have more than others. The darker the booze, for instance, like bourbon, the more congeners they have. All right, so much for that. And liver problems spiked after the 2008 economic crash. Deaths from liver disease have risen in the U.S. since 2008 financial crisis, with particularly a sharp rise in alcohol-related cirrhosis among young people. This was research at the University of Michigan. They saw a 65% increase in deaths caused by cirrhosis between 2009 and 2016, as well as doubling of those from liver cancer. And we know that alcohol is a known carcinogen. That's how scientists induce cancer in laboratory rats. Causes of cirrhosis, other causes are obesity, but alcohol abuse, they say deaths attributable to the alcohol abuse at all age groups were increased, but especially in people under 35, rising 98%. Yikes. All right, let's see, drowsy drivers. Let's go to, this is interesting. Is screen time bad for young doctors? Surgical students are less capable than their forebears because they spend too much time with screens and not enough with physical materials. This according to a professor of surgical education at Imperial College London. Not sure if I did this article, but it's worth repeating anyway. And they say today's students lack the manual dexterity that's important for sewing, cutting, and stitching, as you can imagine, with a surgeon having to have all those skills. Digital technology, they say, is damaging the core skills of surgery. And there is a positive side. The youngest surgeons are digitally literate, so they have the ability to interact with technology because, you know, in the future, there's going to be more surgical robots and augmented reality and everything. But you still need both mental and physical skills to be the best surgeon possible. All right, let's see. Not time for all the articles, but let's get to one more. What smog does to your body. What it does to your brain. Exposure to pollutants has been shown to cause cognitive decline, with particles causing neurons to degenerate. The lungs, smaller particles can accumulate in the lungs, causing inflammation. And some of those particles enter the bloodstream and cause other problems in other parts of the body. Heart, the high levels of pollution are associated with an increased risk of stroke and heart attack. And finally, reproduction. Pollutants from the air can cause toxicity levels to rise in the placental blood, which can harm the fetus. All right, that's it for the Health Hotline News. When we come back, we'll have more information for your good health here on Dr. Health, so don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio.
Do you sometimes suffer from gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, or irritable bowel syndrome? You need to know about the Friendly Foursome. Master Supplements, the leaders in safe and effective intestinal health products, offer four supplements that may reinvent your intestinal tract. First, there's Theralac, America's fastest acting medical strength probiotic. Find out why Theralac's regular customers become, well, regular customers. Just go to theralac.com for more information. Then there's True Fiber, clinically proven to improve regularity as well as lowering cholesterol. True Fiber is also uniquely formulated to stimulate probiotics. Third in the Friendly Foursome is Enzylase, the strongest enzyme available. With high potencies of 12 different digestive enzymes, Enzylase makes short work of fatty meals and dairy products, as well as normally gas-producing foods such as beans. Finally, there's True Flora, the fastest-acting bio-cleansing probiotic. True Flora is so potent, the recommended dose is only 2 per week. This is the premier traveler's supplement. Don't go on a trip without taking True Flora. See the Friendly Foursome of Master Supplement products at your favorite natural food store. Theralac, True Fiber, Enzylase, and True Flora for the best intestinal health of your life.
Did you know compelling new research published in top medical journals links inflammation to heart health, brain health, and even lifespan?
That's right.
Physicians and healthcare professionals now agree the key to health and longevity is managing your inflammatory health.
I agree.
I agree too.
Absolutely.
I concur.
So why don't we manage inflammatory health with these well-known anti-inflammatories? The answer? The risk of side effects from chronic use. The truth is, there are no anti-inflammatories safe enough for chronic use. Until now. Introducing Xanthicin, the safe anti-inflammatory for health and longevity. Visit GNC, your neighborhood inflammatory health center, to learn more.
Welcome back to the program. It's David Snow on your radio. Hey, we're the healthy dose of cheer without the beer. Well, you know, one thing that, besides alcohol, that may be deleterious to your health is radiation. And we're going to talk about that in this hour of the program. My guest, Ron Smith, he's the Vice President and Technical Director of Radiation Detection Company in Texas. And they've been doing it since the 1940s, believe it or not. And so we'll talk about the history of radiation and what you need to know about the different types of radiation and its many benefits and, the downside also. You know, radiation has been used to, I mean, it can kill you and it can cure you. We'll talk about it being used in medicine and then also in other applications and what you need to be aware of when it comes to either man-made or natural radiation, be it background radiation or otherwise or other types. So without further ado, let's bring on Ron Smith. Good morning, Ron. How the health are you?
I'm doing very well, David. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Now, you are producers of radiation monitoring. What are they called? Dosimeters or
dosimeters?
Dosimeters. Yeah. Okay.
The term that the industry uses.
And that's also known as X-ray badges or detectors, right?
X-ray badge, film badge. All it has a variety of names, but right. Yeah, it's a dosimeter.
Yeah. Okay. And it's for healthcare. The healthcare profession, dental and veterinary industries, as well as government and energy, nuclear reactors, I would think, and government areas where there are radiation. Workers and personnel are exposed to radiation. So let's first talk about the history of radiation. Now, since you've been around, I know you've been around since the 40s. Maybe not. maybe I don't think you're that old. But
well, thank you for that.
but I know your company has, and you actually were. I should mention this. You have quite an illustrious resume. 17 years with Lockheed. So I have had a rocket scientist on my radio show.
rocket scientist.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So how did you gravitate? Well, first of all, let's get into the history of radiation, and then you can tell us about your background. But let's talk about the background of radiation, whether it's man-made or found in nature. I mean, they can both harm us or help us. Let's talk about that.
Let me start off by saying that's really a two-part question, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have the discovery of radiation in general, and then you have radiation therapy and industrial use. A guy named Henry Becquerel first discovered radiation, but it was Marie Curie who actually named it and, of course, died of all her exposure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Radiation therapy goes back to experiments made after the discovery of X-rays. I think that was 1895. That's when we began to see not only the benefit and usefulness of X-rays and radioactive materials, but also the downside and physical damage that comes with it. That's when they saw burns of on skin and things of that nature,
uh-huh.
Organ damage even. I'm sure a few of your listeners at least know the story of people who painted with luminous paint.
Oh,
they did
right.
Watch faces, right?
Yeah.
And those folks died because they would lick their brushes in order to keep the fine lines. And that luminous paint, which they didn't know at the time, contained radioactive materials that provided the glow.
Now, is that tritium? Is that the particular?
It was tritium at that time,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, that's very good.
Well, you know,
your homework before we get on the phone,
well,
didn't you?
The reason I know that, Ron, is because I'm wearing a watch. I don't know if you've heard of Luminox. It's a Swiss watch company, and
I
love their watches, and I've had them ever since the 80s. And maybe I'll die. Maybe my wrist will die before I do. But but it's it has tritium lights or bulbs inside, and they're they say 25 times stronger or brighter than a typical watch face at night. And I mean, it's just, well, it's what the U.S. Navy SEALs, the original watch of the U.S. Navy SEALs, and they still use them to this day. And I should have them as a sponsor. Here I am giving them a free plug. But Luminox, I mean, I wear it every day, and I have, you know, I have a watch fetish as well as a pen fetish, so I have a collection of watches. But this is the one I always gravitate to, is the Luminox, because it's so bright, and so you can see, you know, whether I'm sleeping or out and about or running at night or whatever. Tritium. Now, the amount of tritium in here, I assume that it's not going to be
negligible.
Harmful. Yeah, right. Okay.
Tritium is a very low energy material. It was also the same material, I'm sure you know this too, that was used for like exit signs in the old days, right?
Yes, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So in your building, you had to be prepared in case your power went out for workers to be able to find their way out. So tritium was the deal.
So why did it fall out of favor? Because of
because it could hurt you. People that work with it could just hurt you, and there were other things coming up in industry that could replace it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Right? Yeah. And that became real for all this stuff. It really became a question of cost-benefit in the very beginning. So industry and medicine had to determine whether or not the physical damages were worth the benefits that they got from radiation or therapy.
Right.
Imagine what it'd be like if you couldn't do an X-ray to discover a broken bone or God forbid, cancer.
Oh, I know. Where would medicine be today without X-rays? And yet, you know, to think that shoe stores back in, what was it, the early 1900s, 1920s or 30s, they had X-ray machines, and they used to entertain the customers. You know, they'd show a customer's foot.
Stick your hand in here.
Yeah, or how their how their foot fits in their shoes, inside their shoes. You know, and maybe it was an improper fit or something. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, with OSHA and all the regulatory agencies we have today, that would never
have taken place.
And
Absolutely not.
You know, that went on for years and until they realized the hazards of doing that. But anyway, I just want to mention that because a lot of people don't know the history of how casual people used to think of as of radiation.
It was nothing at the time. Nothing.
Right.
Yeah, but then, like I said, they started to see burns. Burns on skin was the first thing that they saw. And organ damage and cancer and all those things. So the folks had to figure out how to work with the stuff safely. That happened by some of the keynote terms like time, distance, and shielding, which means they have to either limit their time with it or use shielding materials or just stay away from the material as best they could.
Uh-huh.
You know, so,
okay, so
that's kind of the history.
All right. Fast forward to the late 1940s, and Radiation Detection Company came into being. Now, that's, as I understand it, about the same time that a lot of the other companies came into being as well, the other radiation detection devices or radiation equipment companies. Why was that? Because the technology came to that point to where it could easily be mass-produced, or what was that?
Well, it was a government experimenting with radiation at the time, right? So you had, in the very beginning, they would judge the effects of radiation by putting a bunch of sailors out on the bow of a ship and have them stand there and then test them after the fact to see what the effect was.
My gosh.
So we needed to come up with a way that we could measure the radiation that they were being exposed to and add that into your plan of how to keep folks safe.
Okay, so how do basically, without getting into scientific terms and losing the audience with you know, Greek related tech terms, how do these devices work? I mean, I know that there are some people. I've actually met non medical professionals who have had these radiation detection devices. They've obtained them, I don't know, through the internet or from stores, you know, they obviously work and they respond to radiation. How exactly, I mean, can you simplify an explanation on how these devices actually detect radiation?
Well, that's, again, one of those multi-answer questions.
Yeah.
The industry started off with what's called a film dosimeter. And that's what we started with back in 1949. And what that did, it was simply a piece of, like, dental film, type 2 film, that resided inside of a holder, and when it was exposed to radiation, through different filtration pieces on that badge, that film would darken underneath.
Oh, I see. Just like an X-ray film would darken would change based on if somebody was getting a medical X-ray. Okay.
Right. And to come up with a quantitative measurement, they would measure the density of the darkness on that film.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that's that technology lasted for years, decades, really.
Hmm.
Today, most folks are using something called TLD, thermoluminescent dosimetry. And that's a little bit different and a little bit the same. In a thermoluminescent dosimeter, we use elements inside of the badge that are sensitive to radioactive energies.
Uh-huh.
When they're exposed, again, through that same type of filtration material, they soak up the energy from the radiation, not the contamination, because those are different things, but the energy from it.
Okay.
We take those elements, we heat them up, that's the thermo part of the deal, and it releases that energy in the form of a glow. So there's that luminescent aspect, right?
Hmm.
The luminescence is then measured through a device here and creates a mathematical profile of that light. That's run through an algorithm and pops out a dose at the end.
Huh. How about that? And do these devices have a very finite life because of the number of exposures they have to be subjected to, and then that's it for that device? I mean, is it a short shelf life, so to speak, or a short product life?
Honestly, it's got a really long life.
Oh.
It's dependent, however, on what it's exposed to. In society today, there's so many rules about radiation and X-rays that a lot of the folks using it aren't being exposed very much at all.
I see.
We really work very hard to keep this as safe as we can. And when those elements are only mildly exposed, they can last like 20 years. You know, if you're taking care of it and you're not being rough with it, it really is a great device.
Okay. On that note, Ron, we need to take a bottom of our station break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about the sensitivity of these devices. Obviously, and I want to mention Fukushima, Japan, you know, where the nuclear reactor meltdowns happened. Do they use these same types of devices, or do they need something, you know, industrial strength, or maybe a device on steroids, because the levels of radiation are so much higher? You know, let's talk about the range these devices are capable of, and then we'll talk about different types of radiation, whether it's ionizing, non-ionizing. Is your microwave a danger to your health, or what about beta, gamma, and other types of radiation? And then those TSA scanners at airports, what about those? I just went through one myself a few days ago. So back after this with more information on For Your Good Health regarding radiation and your health with our guest expert, Ron Smith. Don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy. Back right after this as Dr. Health Radio continues.
Curcumin-rich theracurmin from Natural Factors is a special form of curcumin, the yellow pigment of turmeric that has shown many wondrous health benefits. Theracurmin represents a major scientific breakthrough. Clinical studies show that when it comes to absorption, theracurmin is by far number one. Finally, the powerful health benefits of curcumin can be realized with curcumin-rich theracurmin. To learn more, visit naturalfactors.com.
Snow,
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 snow, snow.
Welcome back to The Cure for the Common Radio Show. What's the definition of drinking? Something which makes one lose one's inhibitions and gives exhibitions. Yeah, that's one of the first things you use is your inhibitions, and that can cause people to be exhibitionist. And that's our focus next hour. Just to preview the topic of next hour's show, our alcohol addiction expert Doug Thorburn joins us for our annual show on alcohol and your health. Don't miss this show, because it's a fact-filled program that you are going to learn a lot with or from. And we do this every year for you. And remember, the Hand that lifts the cup that cheers should not be used to shift the gears, so don't drink and drive, please. But do join us next hour for our special edition on that particular topic, which we do every year at this time because of the increase in drunk driving at this holiday time of the year. All right, back to our guest, Ron Smith, talking about radiation in your health, another thing that can be bad for your health besides alcohol, but in measured doses, it can also be beneficial. So, Ron, let's talk about, we were talking about the detectors and how they worked and the sensitivity. Now, do the detectors, the ones that experts are using in Fukushima, Japan, for instance, are those different detectors that have much higher capacities because they're exposed to much higher levels of radiation? Or what is the deal there as far as the range of these detection devices?
Actually, it's just the same.
Oh.
I should probably tell you that there are other types of detectors. We're primarily talking about passive detectors, which means it's a badge that's created. You wear it for a certain amount of time. You send it back to us, and we measure the dose. When you're working in an active field, there's something called an active dosimeter that will set off alarms and all kinds of things like that. Whenever you're working in the field, it becomes dangerous, all those levels being defined, of course.
Like in the James Bond films where you hear the alarms go off and everybody runs
to cover.
You watch
your cell phone start blinking, yeah. That's more along the lines of an active dosimeter.
Okay.
The passives, which everybody wears in the industry, quite frankly, everybody, are exactly the same. At Fukushima, they were wearing a device that's created by Panasonic. It's a Japanese company, so they supplied all of that to them when the disaster took place. Yeah.
Interesting.
But all the same, yeah, same thing you would wear if you were a dentist is the same thing those industrial users would wear there.
Okay, that's a perfect segue to talk about dentistry because most people are aware of the therapeutic application of X-rays as it relates to dentistry, whether they have had a full mouth X-ray. What do they call it? The panoramic or
full mouth? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's just called full mouth. Or if they have a cavity and they just have to take a shot of that particular tooth. But most people have had a dental X-ray or two in their lifetime, a few. And I understand that the dental X-rays of yesteryear or when we were young were a lot more dangerous or they exposed us to a lot more radiation than they do now with the so-called digital X-rays. Can you explain the difference between the two?
To a certain extent, sure. In the old days, everybody's X-rays were damaging everybody for everything because they hadn't quite learned the damaging effects of the X-ray.
Wow.
So today, the goal is to always use the least amount of energy that you possibly can to get your X-ray done. And dental X-rays do that. The sad thing is that in industry, it's going to be quite a few years before digital X-ray actually takes over. Standard X-ray is so entrenched in the marketplace.
Oh, really?
And all these guys bought their equipment, and yeah, they're just going to use it till that dies. You know, more progressive guys, sure, are moving to digital.
Well, you know, let me just interject that our local resident dental expert here on Dr. Health Radio, Dr. Dennis Nagata, has been using digital X-rays for as long as I can remember. Well, at least a decade or so, or maybe longer, when they first came out.
An early adopter.
Yeah, he's always an early adopter for the newest in technology and the safest and most effective in technology. But I didn't realize that a lot of dentists are still using the conventional X-rays instead of digital X-rays because, as I understand it, the digital is only about one-tenth the radiation of the former types of dental X-rays. Is that about?
Sure, like 5 millirem is all you're going to get from that.
So equate that to, say, a chest X-ray. How much would you get in a chest X-ray? You know,
I think it's about 50.
50, so, okay, a tenth of that, okay. All right.
I will tell you that whenever you're working with digital, it's got a plus and a minus. To the average person sitting in the chair, it's great because they get a much lesser dose whenever they're sitting there and they take a single X-ray.
Okay.
For the technician, on the other hand, they are exposed just over and over because it's such a low dose and so quick. they can take a lot more of them. So the exposure to the technician actually goes up a little
bit. Oh, that, yes, I didn't think of that, right? But you're right. Okay.
Yeah, and there's a certain amount of, you know, you get a comfort feeling from it because you're being told over and over how safe it is. So in the old days, you always watch your dentist. They put the piece of film in your mouth. They back behind that big, thick lead wall.
Right.
And then they click it. And then they come back in the room. Well, today, you know, they kind of hang around more because they're more comfortable, and so they're not quite as afraid.
Hmm.
And as such, they get more of a dose.
Wow, isn't that something, huh?
Yeah.
So do they have to wear these patches on their for detection purposes?
Not all, no.
Oh, they don't. It's not required. Okay.
Not required.
Wow.
The dentist has to create a piece of paper that shows that the exposures to his people are not reaching the levels where they would require monitoring.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right? So you might get somebody that comes along, and they wear a badge for 6 months, and they go back and contact their state and say, you know, we're not getting any dose here. So at that point, everybody relaxes, and they get back to normal, and then here comes your dose again.
But it's self-reporting. I mean, if it's not required and there's no regulation on it, I mean, is that really going to do anybody any good?
No. No, you're absolutely
That's what I thought.
Right.
Okay. Yep. I was reading between the lines there, but it didn't sound like there was much benefit from the way you explained it. So,
yeah, not to the worker. The workers need to be sure that they're being kept safe, that there are rules in place when they're working with this stuff, and, and they remain safe while they're doing it.
Okay.
So, all right. It's one of those things.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's shift gears and talk about the different types of radiation that humans are exposed to. There's X-rays, which we have talked about in some detail. What about the beta and gamma, and then what about microwave radiation or the ionizing versus non-ionizing radiation that we might be exposed to in our homes or kitchens even?
Sure. And all those are radiation. Ionizing radiation is the type that we're concerned about, really, when we're talking about safety, because ionizing radiation is the stuff that causes damage to the cells. So you talk about microwaves. You talk about cell phones, right? I'm sure everybody has heard about the debate whether or not the cell phone's going to melt your brain.
Do cell phones emit ionizing radiation, do they?
They do not.
Oh, they do not.
Not at all. So they're not going to cause you damage. It's not. I suppose you could heat up your brain from the heat that comes off your phone. That's a whole different thing.
Okay. Okay, so microwaves and cell phones, we don't, I mean, that's a minimal worry. That's the last thing to worry about versus other.
Right, unless you're in that microwave, you're going to be fine, yeah.
Yeah, or if you're in that industry and you're always around it, like you were mentioning, the dental hygienists or dentists are all day, every day.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Even that, unless it's ionizing radiation is not going to be causing that damage to your cells that could eventually cause you cancer. It's really a different type of deal.
And isn't it ironic that radiation can either cause cancer or treat cancer? I mean, that's one of the three main therapies for cancer patients, you know, surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. So can you speak to that as far as, you know, is it because of just the dose determines the poison, or how does that work?
Well, it is poison, no matter how you look at it. That radiation is poison.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of how it's directed. So if you're looking to kill cells, they take a real fine aim at the cells that they want to kill, those cancer cells.
Yeah, right.
So they aim very fine points of radiation toward that cell to kill it. And that's when you receive some damage surrounding that cell, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, it kills everything with an equal amount of neglect.
So the future of radiation therapy is just getting more and more focused to that particular tumor or organ or the diseased area of the body so that it doesn't injure the other tissue or, you know, other surrounding tissue of where they're treating?
That's exactly right. It's not just creating that finer focus, but it's also finding out what that minimum dose is that you can put on that cell to create the effect that you're looking for.
Mm.
Today, companies like Siemens, who are,
you've
heard of Siemens.
Of course.
Everybody's heard of Siemens. Mm-hmm. They're creating algorithms in their equipment that will actually tell you the amount of dose that your body is going to receive during the typical treatment that they're providing.
Ah. Interesting.
So that refinement and those safety aspects that they're trying to build into the industry is the future, because the elements aren't going to go away. X-rays aren't going to go away. They might be refined a little bit and reduced through the digital aspect, but those things will remain with us because that benefit that we receive from it is so great.
All right, right. The benefits outweigh the risks.
Exactly right.
All right, let's shift from humans. We talked about using radiation in healthcare as well as the deleterious effects, and then also in dentistry, the help or harm that can be involved in using dental X-rays. But veterinary medicine, it's also used just as much there, isn't it?
It is, even more. When you're working as a human tech, for example, you lay somebody down and you put that film underneath their foot or their arm, whatever you're going to measure, they back way away. Well, imagine trying to do that with an animal who's still semi-conscious.
Right. Yes.
Right? You're not going to tell them, you stay there and you hold your arm in just that position.
Right.
Instead, those techs have a couple of options, really. They can either stand in there, which is what most of them do, and hold that.
Is that right? Okay.
Absolutely. And they'll get their hands in the beam, so they're getting constant dose.
Wow.
Or they have to belt that animal in the leg down, which is, I imagine, a pretty scary thing for the animal they're working
with. Oh, I would think so. I mean, imagine putting yourself in your dog or cat's shoes, well, or belts or paws, whatever, and they're in position, and then having that, having them be exposed, and they don't know what's going on, and here's
exactly right.
You know, they think somebody's going to harm them. Oh, man, that must be so
traumatic. Same thing like a child. Same thing like a child.
Oh, children
anybody
too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't know what's going on. They know that people are backing away, so it's got to be scary.
Right, right.
And, so veterinarians are really a key component of our business because, you know, they deal with what, I don't know, you call it the least of these, right? Because they can't understand what's happening to them or why.
Mm-hmm.
So they get in there and they put themselves at risk as they're trying to help that animal.
Now, speaking of the fear factor, when it comes to radiation, a lot of people get claustrophobic with the MRIs. You know, they go into the tube and or even CT scans and things like that. Can you speak to that as far as the amount of radiation people are getting from those machines?
Oh, gosh. I really couldn't speak to the amount of radiation because it's always going to be dependent on what they're doing to the person.
Oh, right.
At the time.
And what, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, an MRI, I can tell you, has nothing to do with radiation.
Oh, okay.
That's right. That's magnetic.
That's right. Yeah. So
that's
I'm
exciting
sorry. I stand
corrected. In your body.
Right. Right.
No, I hear that a lot. Believe it or not, people are always looking to take our badges in for an MRI when they're working in the hospital, and I have to explain to them that it's different. So.
And that's what you don't want to have on your body because or on your clothes because if it's
exactly.
magnetic, it's
exactly
gonna,
right. Yeah. That metal clip that's on there,
yeah,
those
right.
elements that are protected.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. You're pinned to the machine. Your chest is pinned to the device itself. Oh boy, that would be funny in a way, but not so funny, you know.
Okay.
All right. We've covered a lot of ground. We need to take one last break, Ron, to keep the lights on here in the studio. And when we come back, I want to ask you about TSA and the airport scanners. Do we need to be concerned about that at all? And then also, as far as the availability for the layman, if somebody wants just for their own satisfaction or knowledge, if these devices can be obtainable, even if you're not a doctor or dentist or veterinarian. So we'll talk about that when we come back with our guest, Ron Smith, talking about radiation and your health. Also, when we come back, do you know how palpitating a patient's chest was inspired or how it was discovered? Here's a surprising story on this. We'll have that when we return from this brief break. So stick around if you want to stay healthy. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio, back right after this as our show continues.
By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you 5 dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and sleep. And no matter which doctor-formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at EmeraldHealthBio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
Where did you get that smile? Beautiful smiles from Dr. Dennis Nagata. Where did you get that smile that makes you you? Where did you get that confidence that lets you look like you do? Oh, what a look. Yes, you're looking good. You take care of your teeth just like you should. Where did you get that smile, the one that belongs to you? Nothing looks so right than a smile that's so bright. Tell me, where did you get that smile? You can smile so beautifully. Beautiful smiles are a specialty. Where did you get that smile? Beautiful smiles from Dr. Dennis Nagata.
Welcome back to your weekly dose of verbal vitamins. Hey, did you know palpitating, that is tapping a patient's chest, was inspired by a winemaker? That's right, Austrian Dr. Leopold Auenbrugger, who was the son of a vintner. He often watched his father tap wine barrels to check the amount of wine inside and realized that listening to the sound of a chest could indicate a lot about what was going on inside of it. He published his findings in 1761. How about that? All right. And speaking of drinking or wine, we're going to talk all about alcohol on next hour's program. In fact, we'll have alcohol addiction expert Doug Thorburn, who we have on every year at this time, talking about alcohol. Also, Dick Allgaier's health report coming up next hour, as well as matters of sexual health, the fitness file, and the Funny Bone Pharmacy segment. So make sure you tune all 2 hours long to keep your weekend strong. And if you can't listen to us all 2 hours in the morning, our show does rebroadcast at 9 p.m. on the station you're listening to right now. Continuing our conversation with Ron Smith, talking about radiation and your health. Ron, you know, I got to tell you, it's kind of a funny story. I was flying, I fly a lot, inner island, and I was going through the airport scanner, and the guy stops. I always get stopped for some reason. I won't tell you what usually stops it, but I mean, I take off everything but my clothes, for goodness sake. But anyway, so he's patting me down, and for some reason, you know, the alarm went off in my groin area, and I mean, I didn't have anything there. I don't have any implants or, you know, bone replacements or, I mean, joint replacements or anything. So anyway, so this guy says, you know, he is doing his thing, and he says, are you wearing boxers, my... And I thought, what? How sensitive are these devices?
Boxers,
if you can,
briefs,
yeah, right, right. And I said, no, I'm a brief guy. I've never worn boxers. And why do you ask? You know, and I didn't want to get too smart with the guy because, you know, he has the power to just take me aside, sure, put handcuffs on me, or take me to jail. Anyway, you know, and then he does it again. And he gives me another exam or whatever. Everything but a prostate exam. But anyway, he said, well, it feels like there's something more than just you know, your clothes there. And I said, well, you know, I thought of a few lines. I wasn't going to tell him that. But anyway, how sensitive are those scanners? And that's the number one question. Number two is how much radiation do we really get from that, what is it called, backscatter device or something like that, the technology?
Yeah, those devices are also pretty negligible.
Okay.
The more concerning thing for us and things that we've worked with in the past are those box scanners that you're passing all your stuff through.
Oh, really?
Right. So the TSA agent's sitting behind the line that, you know, watching it, and you can see it on the screen with your materials going through there. That radiation used to be fairly concerning.
Uh-huh.
In fact, we used to have the TSA as our account for those box monitors.
And oh, okay.
Finally, they decided, like Dennis, that they were doing a lot of safety work to those devices. They believed they were getting the doses down to a reasonable amount, and they backed off from causing those folks to wear dosimetry.
Okay, so there's the two. There's the one where you raise your hands, and and the thing goes around and comes back, and then there's the one you just walk through. So is one less radiation than the other? Because I used to get manual pat downs. I used to request that, but now they stopped me anyway. So it's always a manual pat down, so I stopped doing it. But is one less than the other, or is it better to go, to get the manual pat down?
I think the manual pat down is always going to be your best choice. If nothing else, it's going to make you feel more loved, right?
I just wish they would. Well, okay, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah,
go,
we headed off a completely wrong direction.
Right. So,
but the x-rays are really no worse than any x-ray you'd receive from your doctor. And if you think about it, would you rather have people being x-rayed, even with that little bit of risk, rather than have somebody take a weapon of some sort?
Of course.
I always applaud the efforts of the team.
I do, too. My hat's off to them and my clothes off to them, too. Oftentimes,
what a thankless job.
It seems like you have to take everything, including your clothes, sometimes. Anyway, okay, let's move off that subject. Moving right along. How can people actually obtain these badges, the detection badges for radiation, if they want to just have it for their own purposes? Or do you have to be a doctor to get one of these devices?
That's a funny question. When the Fukushima disaster was going on, we got a lot of requests.
Right, I can imagine. Yes.
We're so concerned about the radiation cloud that was coming across the ocean or the ocean water. And they were asking for badges. For a while, we actually did provide those to people, but it wasn't a good thing because they didn't understand what they were looking for. By the time their concern had passed, they wouldn't return the badges back to us for measurement. So it was kind of a waste of effort for everybody.
Huh.
Today, we supply the badges to employers, whether that be a doctor or some manufacturer someplace that's using x-ray materials or radioactive materials of some sort. And they keep track of it. They have what's called a radiation safety officer at their facilities who keeps track of the badges, watches the doses for the employees. It's really a better way to go.
And also I just, one thing that popped into my mind, and that is the food industry. I used to be in the food industry. I had a cereal product, and with a lot of the mass-produced foods, they automatically put them through an x-ray detector to make sure there's no metallic particles in the food as it gets packaged and boxed and or canned or whatever. Would those, the personnel that work in those plants, those manufacturing facilities, would they be wise to wear a radiation detection badge as well?
Just like anyone that's working with radioactive or x-rays.
Yeah, okay, so food
people
industry.
Food today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Use that so they can kill any bacteria that exists. And that food from that irradiated product lasts actually much, much longer and can be used much, much longer because those bacteria aren't growing anymore. They're dead.
Uh-huh.
So the food stays better longer.
Cost
benefit,
Yeah, well, I wasn't talking about irradiating the food, but just the devices that detect any metal fragments or, a flash from a machine or something like that.
Same thing there.
It's
the benefit. You don't want to send that out and wind up getting sued, do you?
No, of course not, yeah. But, the radiation level, wouldn't that be lower for detecting metal that is not supposed to be in the food packages than it is for, irradiating or preserving food for food preservation? Wouldn't that be a higher dose?
Yeah. Irradiating food would be a higher dose.
Right. Okay.
The industrial x-ray where they're looking at the packaging and whatnot is actually a little bit higher than measuring the human body, though, too.
Okay, now let's talk about, since we're talking about food and we talked about microwaves, I noticed that if I have my radio close to the microwave within a few feet, there's a lot of static, and then I bring it away about 3 feet or farther away from the microwave while it's on, it's not an issue. So should you, maybe if you have a microwave right on the counter or something, you're probably not a good idea to stand right in front of it while you're cooking whatever it is in the microwave, right?
Well, probably not. Depends on the seal that's around the door. Most of those things have been built and tested so much that just because of lawsuits, they're not going to be sending out too much negative energy. There is energy coming from those microwaves which would affect your radio. They conflict with the radio waves coming out, too. Mm-hmm. That's what's causing your static, more so than radiation would be.
Oh, I see. Now, if it's an older microwave, that might be problematic, or like you said, the seal. Yeah, okay. Now, what about if you live near the power lines? That's a different type of radiation. That's electrical pollution. But some of the transformers and things, do they emit radiation?
What a highly debated thing. It is radiation, but it's still not ionizing radiation at that point.
It's electromagnetic.
It's on the lower end of the spectrum, yeah.
Okay.
So there's that same argument that goes on that people have with cell phones and other types of radiation.
Okay.
That you really don't know what's causing some of those things to happen.
Right.
It is obvious that there's something going on because you have those clusters of people that are being affected. But what that is, I don't think has been fully realized yet.
Okay, last question of the hour, Ron. What about radio stations in my studio here with all the technical equipment? Do I need to be concerned?
You need to run for your life.
Oh, my God. Okay. On that note, thank you so much for being with us. My last show. Nice knowing you, everybody. Radio Land. Okay, well.
Oh, you are completely safe, David. Again, ionizing radiation is the type of stuff you want to be on the lookout for.
Okay.
There are other types of radiation that exist in the world, but those things right now aren't going to hurt you. Unless they heat you up and cook you, you're going to be pretty much
okay. Okay, and then just to clarify, ionization, you know, ionized air is very beneficial for your health. Ionized water has benefits, but not ionized radiation. That's a big difference.
Absolutely yeah. Not. Yeah.
Now, is there a website, Ron, people can go to for Radiation Detection Company?
They can. Our website is www.radetco. That's RADETCO.com.
That's almost too simple. And by the way, your name's too simple and the name of your company's too simple. So you got to.
I called you.
You got to embellish that. Hey, thank you so much, Ron Smith, for being with us. And one last question. Here's an aside. The future of radiation exposure in our high tech society with all the devices that are coming out. I mean, everybody has a smartphone in their pocket. Everybody has, you know, of course, a microwave oven in their kitchen. But then, you know, there's TVs. There's other. I mean, we're becoming a plugged in society, and we're plugging in our bodies and brains to this exposure. Do you think is there any added risk as we get on with the progress of technology?
I think we're being very safe. And
okay.
I think all this new technology is just the greatest thing. I love the time that we're living in.
All right. On that note, I think I got your answer there. Okay, Ron, thanks you so much.
Thank you. Have a great show.
Thanks, you too. Ron Smith of the Radiation Detection Company, radetco.com, RADETCO.com. And here we go with another hour, but we'll be back next hour after the top of the hour Fox News with something else that may be hazardous to your health, alcohol. Alcohol addiction expert Doug Thorburn joins us next hour, plus more facts about alcohol that you definitely don't know, but will want to. We got a much more, I mean, we have a very, very interesting show. I collect articles all throughout the year for this one show, and it's an annual show that we've been doing for over a decade now. Alcohol and Your Health, coming up after the top of the hour Fox News. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.